You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I might as well say with my man, co-host, Devon Givens. What's up, bro? How you
What's
doing,
What's going
man?
On, man? Good to be back. To be back.
Happy Monday to you, bro.
Absolutely.
Happy Monday.
Absolutely.
But, you know, tonight the Sixers play, the Denver Nuggets, at Wells Fargo. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about, the Saturday night's game. They played the Boston Celtics. The game was 107-106. The Celtics won. Isaiah Thomas won beast mode. 37 against the Sixers. I just want to talk to you a little bit. What are some of your observations from Saturday night's game?
The Boston Celtics backcourt was a problem. Mm-hmm. 57 points between Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. And the fact that they were both efficient, again, Isaiah Thomas, 37 points, but he got to the free throw line 15 times. The Sixers got to the free throw line 26 themselves, but 15 times for Isaiah Thomas, 11 for 19 from the floor, 2 for 3 from three-pointer. So just the efficiency that in which he put the numbers up from the field goal that he did, and then getting to the free throw line, the amount of times that he did, having the effect on the team the way that he did, that's why he's an all-star, and that's why he was able to cause problems. And that's the one thing, you look at Joel Embiid, who was off again on Saturday night against the Boston Celtics, you look at so many of these games, Keith, that we watched the Sixers play, and a lot of their issue is coming down the stretch, same issue on Saturday night against the Boston Celtics, where they don't have anybody to simply help close the game out. Mm-hmm. An all-star that you can go to. Now, Joel Embiid may be an all-star, who knows? But a lot of times it's tough to have your big man be the guy who closes things out for you in the post. When you have somebody like Isaiah Thomas do what he does, either making a basket from the field or just simply getting to the free throw line, drawing and attracting the defense, and kicking it to his teammates, that's what it's all about, finding mm-hmm. that star to help you down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly right. Because down the stretch, he scored 13 of his points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. 12 of them were consecutive. He scored 12 consecutive points. And it got to a point where it was just a layup line. They couldn't stop him. He would go there, like you said, he would either get fouled or he would score. Yep. Fouled, get scored. Yeah, you're exactly right. The Sixers don't have that. But, a major concern to me right now is when you think of him, he scored 37 points tonight. But then, you look back at it and you realize, hold up. This isn't the only point guard to dominate the Sixers like that. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Now, Kyrie Irving had 39 points against the Sixers, right? James Harden had 33. Now, James Harden is running the point now, so he's a point guard.
So he's considered a point guard, right.
Russell Westbrook had 32, and Jeff Teague had 30. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? And the bad thing is, Jared Bayless is questionable, for tonight's game.
Pretty much every day.
Pretty much every day. So the point that I'm trying to say is just like their point guard play. Again, as good as Isaiah Thomas was, it makes you think to a point that, hold up, dude, it's not really as good as these guys are. It's how bad the defensive play it is of the Sixers on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. They can't keep solid point guards in front of them.
Well, the one thing that you point out when Jared Bayless is not there, not saying he's some defensive maven that he's going to stop every all-star or any, mid-level point guard that's out there, and we know this league is strong in point guards, it's that Sergio Rodriguez, that's not his strong suit. We know he's a backup point guard. He's playing out of rotation right now because of Jared Bayless's injury. However, when he's on the floor, and sometimes he's doing his thing and he's able to hold things up a little bit, but he cannot do that. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's known for. He's not known for his perimeter defense. And then if you have Gerald Henderson and you take him off of a wing player in which you really need him on the best perimeter scorer, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem. And then I know the one thing that you mentioned quite a bit is you say a layup line. If Joel Embiid is not in the game like he was not on Saturday, it's going to be that way.
Yeah.
It's going to be that way.
Yeah, no doubt. But the one guy who really impressed me was Dario Saric. You know, he had a career high tying 21 points, career high tying 12 rebounds. He was 7-for-12 from the field. He was 3-for-6. I mean, he had like a little diving finger roll layup that tied the score at 100 late. I think it was like 30 something seconds left.
Yep.
So, you know, the guy is balling. He played a little bit of the three. And, you know, at first people say, you know, put him at three. I'm like, come on, man. He can't play the three. And I don't know if he can do it on a nightly basis, but he looked okay. He didn't look bad tonight. He didn't look out of sync to me.
He looked like he knew what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He had his mind made up what he was going to do when he got the ball. A lot of times you see him, he's still guessing. It's the adjustment from being overseas for so long, knowing that game versus coming to the States and playing in the NBA, playing against these players. Mm-hmm. In this league, the rules are a little different. The speed is different. Mm-hmm. So now I'm not saying he's over that hurdle yet, but when you talk about Saturday night, the 21 points and the 12 rebounds, 7-for-12 shooting, he knew what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He looked at the man across from him, knew that either he could take him off the dribble, or what he had to do was the one that they kept showing in the building when he put Jonas Jerebko on skates.
I know, right?
And they kept showing it on the Jumbotron. It was that good. And I'm sure you guys have already seen it on Twitter because it was good.
It was good.
But that's the thing. He knew what he wanted to do. Again, his mind was made up. It wasn't any second guessing of what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he wanted to do when he saw player X on him in front of him. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing for me. And then you mentioned the small forward thing, Keith. It was when the lineup came out and Nick Stauskas was going to be the starter for a small forward, you were wondering, okay, what is Brett Brown thinking? Why is Dario Saric not inserted into that small forward spot? Mm-hmm. Maybe he felt like he had a better opportunity to be the number one option as the scoring punch off the bench, and gave him the green light to do so. And it looked like he had an opportunity to do just that tonight. Saturday night.
Yeah. He did. And the thing about it is, you know, he looked good, and I honestly thought he was going to start him because he mentioned that, like, if Covington couldn't go, he probably would. He also knew that Nick Stauskas typically plays better when he comes off the bench.
Right.
You know, he had an okay game. I mean, you know, he shot 3-for-11, which isn't good. He was 2-for-8 on threes, but he did end up with 10 points. I think his foul trouble kind of hurt him a little bit. He had 4 fouls, but he did have a team high, actually a game high, 2 blocks. So, I mean, for Nick Stauskas, that's not bad. And then you look at it, he has to guard a Jay Crowder, who, I mean, he has at least 40 pounds over him.
Tough player.
That's a tough matchup. But talking about tonight's game, you know, we'll find out a little bit later on today if Joel Embiid will play. The Sixers are, you know, they had a string of, like, playing teams with winning records. So now they're going back to playing a team with a losing record. Right now the Nuggets are 7-13 after losing to the Utah Jazz 105-98 on Saturday. So, man, what are you expecting out of this one?
This is an interesting matchup because they have a pretty big lineup. And when you talk about Sergio Rodriguez or Jared Bayless, Emmanuel Mudiay has a nice size on him. Will Barton, 6'6". Your backcourt is 6'6 and 6'5". Right, with Barton and Emmanuel Mudiay. And then you talk about the Western Conference Rookie of the Month, and Murray, right? So he's another big guy, Jamal Murray, where he has that size. So it's going to be interesting. Size all up and down the roster for those players. And they've been playing well under Coach Mike Malone. They seem like they're buying into what he's preaching. They're a fun team to watch. They like to run. They like to get out there. So it's going to be an interesting matchup based on how that goes. Now, of course, as you said, Joel Embiid, still not sure yet. Yusuf Nurkic is a fun player to watch. We saw him during the Olympics. You see him during the season, averaging close to 10 points and 7 boards a game. It's going to be an interesting matchup, a nice physical, tough matchup in the paint, whether it's Jahlil Okafor or Joel Embiid. This Nuggets team is fun. They're upstart, and they play with a lot of pace, so the Sixers better be ready. You know Brett Brown likes to run instead of necessarily getting into the half-court sets, and if that's what he wants to do, this is going to be a track meet against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and Gallinari, I mean, you know, it's funny, Colangelo, like, they love these foreign type players. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a 6'10 wing. He's been around for a while. You know, and he's the type of guy, you look at it, he would fit greatly in the Sixers' plans for what they want as a small forward.
Yeah, he would.
You know, he would. But my thing is, I like Moutier. I mean, you know, last time the Sixers played, Moutier had, like, a last-second shot to win the game last year. That was
From half court.
Yeah, from half court. Yeah, he threw some crazy stuff up. But I, in a way, it was weird, though, because T.J. McConnell plays a heck of a defense. Then T.J. stole the ball, but then the ball, like he lost the ball.
Yeah.
And then my man just, like, threw up the rainbow and won the game. But my thing is, what do you make of the Sixers right about now? I mean, again, at one point they won four straight games at home, right? They won back-to-back games. But again, it was against teams who last year they would have lost to those teams because the Sixers lost a lot. But they were the teams with losing records who had injured players. Mm-hmm. Now the Sixers played a couple of solid ball clubs. And they got destroyed in a couple games. They lost three close ones. I mean, let's face it. Right now, they're one in six in games divided by 6 points or less. So, what do you make of this team, man? I mean,
it's Joel Embiid, and much of what we saw over the past 3 years. That's what it is. And Joel Embiid is now up to 28 minutes. But for the most part, it's still pretty much, Keith, even though you have new infusion of talent with Joe Henderson, veteran-wise, Joe Henderson, Jarrett Bayless, and Sergio Rodriguez, then you mix in the young guys of Joel Embiid, Dario Saric, and anybody else that you want to think of, it's still much of the same. Mm-hmm. And again, as we talked about Saturday's game, and we brought up Isaiah Thomas and even giving up those 5 30-plus point games to the point guards, it's just that they're still trying to find their way. Brett Brown's still trying to find the identity for the team, which is what we know when Joel Embiid is in the game, that's your identity. Funnel it through him. However it gets done, he's going to get a majority of the shots. That's what the offense is going to go through. But when he's not on the floor, and you can see it in the fans, you can see it on Twitter,
No
one's interested. Mm-mm. No one's interested. So that's what we've seen over the past three seasons, where it's much of the same. Yes, they had a nice run where Jahlil Okafor was someone that the fans wanted to see. Now Joel Embiid is that guy, but sometimes he's on the floor, sometimes he's not. And when he's rolling, he still has to come out. When it goes to overtime, he can't play the entire overtime. So for this team, for me, and them sitting at 4-16 heading into tonight's game against the Nuggets, they've had a lot of home games so far. They had a lot of games where they could have won, but it's still much of the same. Brett Brown's still trying to figure it out. The players still don't know. The starting lineups are different here and there. And now with Robert Covington injured, mm-hmm. Joel Embiid unsure for tonight, mm-hmm. Jarrett Bayless can't steadily stay on the floor. Again, it's much of the same. Hollis Thompson, T.J. McConnell, Nick Stauskas, on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's the same team to me, Keith, if Joel Embiid is not on the floor.
Yep, you're right. And also when Dario, you know, they're saying, oh, Dario looked good at the three. To me, it's kind of like you're still trying to, you know, you have the roster is so unbalanced that now you're trying to figure out what other people can do so they can get more playing time. You know what I mean? Because, you know, what was it? On Friday night, they did the Twin Towers with...
Against the Orlando Magic.
Against the Orlando Magic, yeah, with Joel Embiid and Okafor. Dario didn't play a lot of minutes.
Not at all.
So then next thing you know, on Saturday night, Dario plays sometime at the three. So that's enabling the Sixers to say, hey, I can get him on the floor. You know, when we have two other bigs playing. Mm-hmm. To me, that's just... I mean, it's great that Brett Brown's trying to figure that out, but it would help if they already knew that and they didn't have to go through these problems and they could just focus on winning games.
Right.
As opposed to, let's see if this guy could try out this position, that position. You know what I mean?
While they're out there still trying to win, we know it's still a building opportunity.
Yeah.
They're not ready to win yet. And again, with Ben Simmons out, Joel Embiid playing every other night. It's not on back-to-back nights. Yeah. It's still unsure. And you're right. If Brett Brown could solely focus on the one thing, and that's trying to put a game plan together for the Denver Nuggets versus where am I going to put Dario Saric?
Mm-hmm.
Is Embiid going to play? What are the doctors going to tell me? Can I squeeze Rashawn Holmes in there somewhere,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that he has to deal with that's interesting. And it's tough to sit there and watch it a lot of times. That's why I simply say, Keith, again, I was never a big fan of the process, the entire thing. It was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You had to deal with it. Now you just evaluate as things go on.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they are still where they were a year ago.
Yeah.
And that's the tough part, because you know you have a player in Joel Embiid who was just named the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month. People are talking All-Star appearance. And listen, it's not like it's out of the question. He probably should be an All-Star if you look at what he's doing in the limited minutes that he's doing it. And it's just that it's hard to figure out game by game what this team is going to do. Against the Orlando Magic that you mentioned, both teams, you look like it was going to be one of those deals where the Sixers had a winnable game against an opponent who had 7 wins coming in, and it could probably handle their business. Sixers do their thing. And you mentioned the 13 minutes that the Twin Towers and Embiid and Okafor played together, and what happened? They got run off the floor, down by as much as, I believe, 28 or 29.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then against the Boston Celtics, they lose by 1 point. And they stick it out. They both played on a back-to-back night, even though Boston had to fly into Philadelphia to play on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting thing. It's still a team where they don't have the identity unless Joel Embiid is on the floor. It's going to be interesting to see when Ben Simmons comes back, if they do find an identity with those two being your feature marquee players. But other than that, it's still much of the same with these 2016-17 Sixers.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I think that's a great point that we could end on. You know, I got to get you back on here again soon this week, another day this week. But, hey, I want to thank y'all for listening. And as I do before, and I'm going to keep doing every time my man comes on here, please, bro, let people know where they can reach you at or follow you at.
On Twitter at DevonG975 and 975thefanatic.com. You can catch me on there. On Saturday afternoons, I'll do my show. And, of course, on Sunday pregames before the Eagles, 3 hours before each Eagles game, no matter the opponent, home or away. So that's where you'll find me, at DevonG975, DevonG975.
All right, well, I want to thank y'all for listening in, and I'll be back tomorrow to just give y'all my thoughts of tonight's game and then also a little preview of tomorrow's game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Peace.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was a good one.